yahoo.com. PhilMarcusShow@yahoo.com. Okay. I think that covers it, except that I should tell you I'm a REMAX Heritage real estate broker, and you can call me during the week if you like at 412-241-4200. Extension 154. All right. Let's now, Stephanie, I push conference in this, I think. Whoops. Now, that should do it. Now, let's see if Dr. Strauss is there. Dr. Strauss?
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for coming on short notice. I called Dr. Strauss about, I don't know, about 45 minutes ago. I said, do you want to come on the radio with me?
Just got back from the afternoon shopping, and I'm happy to chat about a dull but a topic that ultimately everybody worries about, who owns real estate or even rents it.
Yeah, ain't it the truth? What is going on? Emperor Dan, whom I've had on this show many times, and I call him Emperor Dan. He liked the name, actually, when he was here. We got a laugh out of it. But I call him Emperor Dan because it seems he's operating out of imperial fiat.
Well, I don't know that I want to go down that road very far. What happened Friday was that the ordinance that he's going to be formally proposing Tuesday started circulating, and newspapers have gotten hold of it, and people are talking about it. And what he's trying to accomplish, I guess, is to put out new assessed values for everybody in Allegheny County for 2006. He tried to do that earlier in the year, and his ordinance, which the council passed, was struck down by Judge Wettick in June.
As well it should have been.
Well,
That's all right. I'll editorialize. That's what they came
with
the big
bucks for. I've spoken
out
and testified in front of council against it. And
against Dan Honorato's plan.
Right. Okay. So he's basically throwing another pitch to his catcher and hoping that shortly after he proposes this ordinance, the council will embrace it, and then he'll send out the numbers. Apparently the numbers aren't ready yet. And life will go on. My concerns, what I've sort of concluded having read it twice, but not next to all the other state and local laws that I need to, but at first reading, I've got a lot of concerns that taxpayers are not being protected as they have been in the past by really requiring the assessment process to be accurate. And he seems to be giving a lot more discretion than in the past to the chief assessor, who he controls. And there's a mechanism that he's proposing that basically takes the 2002 assessments, which have been essentially frozen unless people appealed, and he's making them gospel. Mm. And he's not actually going to do a reassessment in the foreseeable future. And, of course, the market's changed in the last 3-4 years because the 2002 assessments are getting stale, and markets in various parts of the county have obviously changed. You know, prices have gone up, some have gone down.
Yeah. Well, let me interrupt here a minute.
Sure.
It seems to me that Honorato is concerned. The goal here doesn't seem, to me at least, you correct me if you think I'm wrong, if you disagree, I always thought the goal was accurate assessments. But
well,
it seems that the goal with Mr. Honorato is lower taxes. And one doesn't have anything necessarily to do with the other.
Yeah, I think that the goal that you stated first is what you'll find in state law if you look, and it's certainly what you find around the country. Market value or some constant percentage of it is what everybody in the assessment business looks to as the standard of value, because that's the general definition of fairness. I think what he said when he was running for county executive was that he had a different fairness standard in mind, and I guess I'd call it Dan's. Dan's got something for you, fairness. And he tried this sliding cap, and that didn't work, although polling seemed to show that a lot of taxpayers in Allegheny County at first blush thought it was fair.
Yeah.
But the judge didn't like it, and so now he's got another scheme.
Do we know what the scheme is?
Well, I think that roughly what it is a base year with some adjustments and taking the appeals into account, and another commentator, Jeff Bloom, called it a hybrid system, and there's no provision in state law for a hybrid system. And if you look at the way the Home Rule Charter was constructed by the General Assembly in the late 90s, what you find is they said to the Home Rule Charter folks, there's lots of things you can fuss around with, but you can't fuss around with the substance of assessments.
Well, the law, as I understand it, doesn't set forth a methodology.
Right, and he hasn't seen the numbers, but he's in the process of claiming victory and also, once again, claiming it's legal. Now, you know, in March and April, he said it was legal, and he said it was legal before the judge, and his counsel for the county said it was, and he lost, and he's appealing it to the Commonwealth Court, and my best guess is he'll lose there. In the meantime, he's under, as Jim Roddy was under, a long-term obligation to honor Judge Wettick's directive that there be a reassessment.
All right, we're going to have 2002 as the base year and build on that. That seems to be
what's going on.
Because that was the last assessment.
Yeah.
Those are the last numbers.
And when he was county controller, as you may recall, he didn't think that well of them. He was highly critical of them. He thought that they should be improved. And this spring, when the new numbers, the 06 numbers, were generated by Colayer and Trumbull, who was a consultant, highly paid the company to the county, his chief assessor said they were okay and met national standards because the ordinance at that time required her to give an opinion on that matter. And then he didn't take her advice, and he said,
They're not acceptable. 19%. All right, hold on. We're speaking with Professor Robert Strauss of Carnegie Mellon University, Professor of Economics and Public Policy. Did I get your title
right? Absolutely correct.
All right, I'm doing
it. Get an A.
All right, this is Phil Marcus. You're listening to AM News Talk 1360, Real Estate 101. That's me. We are going to be back, and if you want to join the conversation, Tony is already on hold. Hang in there, Tony. We'll get to you after the break. The number is 412-333-1360, pound 1360 on your Verizon wireless cell phone. Want to tell you about my favorite air conditioning company, right? That is Sullivan Super Service. Sullivan, I'm grateful to them because they are the ones who put the central air conditioning in my home. And I'm living with it and loving it. And it's Unico. Now, what makes Unico unique, if you're a new listener to this program, if not, you certainly know. You've heard me talk about it. Rave about it is a better description. What makes it unique is that it's a high-velocity system, and it doesn't disrespect or disregard the architectural integrity of your home. Sounds like a tough goal, right? But it does that because the Sullivan folks who install it don't have to tear up your walls and ceilings and hardwood floors to install ductwork. Indeed, the Unico system has its own proprietary ductwork that's small and flexible that the technicians, the HVAC technicians from Sullivan, will snake through the voids in your wall, ceilings, and floors, and maybe in a closet or two, that you didn't know existed in your home. Now, for a better understanding of this system, don't take my word for it, go to the manufacturer's website, and it's pretty clearly understandable. It's a good website. It's www.unicosystem.com. Unico System spelled out as one word, UNICOSYSTEM, unicosystem.com. This is a high-velocity system, absolutely best at reducing humidity in your home, by the way. That's a little added benefit. But don't go another season without central air. It's easy, it's affordable, it's versatile. For all your plumbing, heating, and air conditioning needs, call Sullivan Super Service. Here's their number. It's 412-271-0900, Sullivan Super Service.
You've always set goals. You've always done what it takes to get the job done. It's not easy, but it's definitely worth it. And today, your goal is owning your own home, one of the proudest accomplishments there is. At Wells Fargo Home Mortgage, we understand. Maybe you're making this big step for the first time, or maybe now's the time to refinance. Either way, we offer quick approvals and a smooth loan process with all the personal attention you deserve. Plus, we also have a full range of financing options that include low or no down payment programs and cost-cutting closing options. After all, Wells Fargo Home Mortgage is one of the nation's leading retail mortgage lenders. So set your goals, and we'll do everything we can to help you get there. Wells Fargo, the next stage. Wells Fargo Home Mortgage, a division of Wells Fargo Bank N.A., is an equal housing lender.
Call Wells Fargo Home Mortgage toll-free at 866-618-6237. That's 866-618-6237.
Stephanie's confused. That's the music. Yeah, it sounds like an echocardiogram or something. Well, it will. Bring that pot up. Here it comes. The heart of rock and roll. Stephanie got confused because all of his music is identical. All right, enough of that. Welcome back to Real Estate 101. Real Estate 101 time, by the way, 4:20, and we're speaking with Dr. Robert Strauss of CMU. We're talking about assessments. 412-333-1360, #1360 on your Verizon wireless cell phone. Dr. Strauss, you still with us?
Yep.
All right, let's go to the phones. Tony in Pittsburgh. Oh, he's on line one, that bad button. Okay, Tony, how you doing?
Well, Phil, I hope I can be disagree without being disagreeable. And I'm sorry if I'm judging your motives wrong.
That's okay.
But if you're saying people want fairness, what is fair to one person? Now, I believe that this system is in favor of people who have more money, who have a bigger amount of property, and they don't want to pay more, and yet they say fairness. I'm not saying you were the doctor, okay? And people, like, if houses are assessed at a higher value, real estate people mightn't get a bigger commission, but they'll make more profit on the amount of commission because the houses are higher assessed. And people who have a lot more money don't want to pay a lot. And I believe to whom more is given, much more is required. So I'm not saying it's your motives or the doctor's, but I think people always hide behind their concern, fairness, and everything. It's just a bunch of words. But when we get down to it, it's going to take away from their self-interest, and they disguise it as fair, moral, and ethics.
Right.
And it bothers me to no extent, mm-hmm. because I don't see most politicians concerned about, people who are very poor like me, and that. It's just what they tell us. But I think Aunt Don Anorado is under a lot of attack because the special interest who have the most to lose are going to attack a person who stands up for the common person,
I'm
going to hang up and listen. Thanks.
All right, you can hang up. All right, Professor Strauss, there you go. I mean, there's a populist...
I think that the county executive has been trying to articulate for the little guy. But let me try to explain to you why getting the numbers right through a reassessment serves the little guy's purpose. I mean, I've been looking at assessed values in Allegheny County on a research basis for a very long time. And it's true in 2002, and it's true in 2005, the following. Inexpensive properties are overassessed, and we're talking about houses here, and expensive houses are underassessed. And I think that's what Tony's talking about. From a pure fairness point of view, the proposed ordinance is not going to fix that. And the only way to fix it is to make sure that the market values of the expensive homes, the estimated market values, because they didn't sell, are very close to the comparables that did sell, and the same for the inexpensive homes. This proposed ordinance doesn't push the county to do that, and I'm really worried about it. And there's one other thing that really troubles me, and that is the kind of discretion that's in the proposed ordinance. I think Tony would agree, and Phil, I think you would agree, that the assessor should be like an umpire, which is call them as they see them, but not be given the discretion to redefine the strike zone. And if you look at the proposed ordinance, and I'm looking at the draft that was circulated, the proposed ordinance says that the county assessor can change assessments for any other reason whatsoever.
That's a huge loophole.
Yeah, and that's not in current law. And what that means to me is that if the county assessor, the chief assessor, gets a phone call, and I think, Tony, you're worried about this too, that and the phone call comes from the top of the administrative hierarchy, then the county assessor is going to push on the scale and change the assessment. And nobody will know until years later. And that's just not the right way to do things. You don't find that kind of discretion in other states. And we have prohibitions in Pennsylvania for what are called spot assessments. But the language in this ordinance, while it says it's opposed to spot assessments, gives the chief assessor the authority between years when there's a total reassessment to change an assessment for any other reason whatsoever.
Yeah, that the C-spot assessment.
That's really, that's scary.
What about, let's drift from the main topic just a tad here. I suspect I know your opinion, but I'll ask it anyway, on Dan's recent move that removed the judges and the magistrates from the website. The public data that I own, damn it, now I can't look up a judge's assessment.
Well,
never mind Bill Robinson, you know, he tried to...
The only protection we have in ensuring that our neighbors are assessed and taxed fairly is to be able to see it on the web. And once you start going down this slippery slope of taking off one class of individuals, judges say, and then another, you really begin to erode the public's right to know and their confidence in the system. Now, let me just take judges as a group of people.
All right.
The argument in favor of taking judges off the list on the web was that there's a security issue.
It's preposterous.
Well, yeah, I think it is, and if judges start getting favorable assessments based on the kind of decisions they render, the public won't have the ability to police that by just looking themselves. And in fact, we've not had any judges in my memory living in southwestern Pennsylvania for better than a quarter of a century. We haven't had any judges intimidated or shot or hurt. The problems we've had with judges in southwestern Pennsylvania, and it's been few and far between, is they've gone to jail for taking bribes. You know, well, it's true.
Yeah, I know. And but that aside, these are the very you know, the FOP wants the police officers.
I'm aware that the police want to be off, and then you know, you're going to have school teachers, and then people over 6 feet tall, and it doesn't end.
It's crazy. It is crazy.
Well, I think that everyone should have the right to take a look at what the assessments are and reach a conclusion about whether their neighbors and themselves are fairly assessed and fairly taxed. Mm. And the history of the property tax, going back hundreds of years, has always been throughout the United States, started in New England. The list was nailed to the door of the church because that was the first entity that imposed it in New England. And the value of the land, the amount of land, the improvements, and also the livestock, because they were taxed too, were there for everybody to see. And so if the assessor missed something on the list, then anybody going to church could go in and complain.
All right, I got to interrupt you. We're going to take a break. We're going to join. How much time do we have, Stephanie? About 1 minute. All right, Dr. Strauss, we're going to take a break. We've got to join the ABC network for a Katrina update.
Okay.
And so stay tuned. We're talking with Professor Robert Strauss, he of CMU, Professor of Economics, Public Policy, and we're talking about assessments. You're free to phone in with questions, comments for Dr. Strauss or me or anything you want. I don't care. 412-333-1360, pound 1360 on your Verizon Wireless. What else? We're going to give away tickets. Oh, well, I think after the break, we'll ask Dr. Strauss to indulge us for a few minutes, and I'm going to ask some presidential trivia questions, see if we can get some quick answers and give away, we're going to give away tickets to the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra Mellon Grand Classics at Grand Beginning. So, all right. I don't hear the music yet, Steph.
Well, Phil, good things come to those who wait.
Oh, all right. Well, no. Then we're waiting for ABC. I think they're late.
How come you don't want to go to a grand opening or beginning? Or
because my job as the host is to be magnanimous and give away these tickets. That's it. And besides, I don't have any culture. I ain't got none. So, oh, the music. All right. 429 Real Estate 101 time. You stay tuned. We're going to join the network, and we will be back on the other side. More of our conversation with Dr. Robert Strauss of CMU. See you in 60 seconds.
Hope springs eternal in New Orleans.
We have lights. In the French Quarter, in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Power has come back on in a small but happy corner of the city. While that is certainly a bright spot, ABC's Barbara Britt tells us security is still a long way away.
The Army Corps of Engineers estimates it'll be next year before the levees are back to their pre-Katrina protection levels. In fact, some of the follow-up projects added after Hurricane Betsy back in 1965 won't even be completed for another decade. And experts say any new protection around New Orleans won't be fully in place for another 30 years and will cost tens of billions of dollars.
President Bush has pledged to rebuild the region.
I've asked for and the Congress has provided more than $60 billion. An unprecedented response to an unprecedented crisis.
And he has promised not to raise taxes to pay the tab. The overall death toll is over 800. With continuing coverage of Hurricane Katrina, I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Oh, it's my turn. Listen, do you own a small business? If so, I want you to perk up your ears because I know if you do, you're trying to grow that business, right? And you know that you need a presence on the web, the internet. You know it, but maybe you don't know how or where to begin. Well, then you should check out the professional graphic design firm called, simply enough, The Practice. Check out their website. It's www.thepractice.com, spelled funnily, The Practice, T-H-E-P-R-A-K-T-I-S. They've got web designers and project management teams that create high-impact, quality websites custom designed for your business. They do not work from pre-made templates, you know, the ones where you type in your text or captions under photos, none of that. Every website they create is unique, and these folks operate with a great artistic pride with a simple philosophy. They say that each website they design has got to meet their high standards of excellence or it doesn't get published onto the web. Now, they also offer web hosting, web storage, personal email accounts. They've got the capability, as a matter of fact, to create a customized database for your company and to make your new website fully e-commerce ready. If you happen to be not in need of web design or consulting, maybe you're in need of some print media. The Practice also specializes in innovative, high-quality print media customized to fit any corporate or individual advertising need. They can produce flyers, brochures, business cards. They'll even design logos to immediately capture the attention of your customers. See the superb design capabilities of The Practice for yourself. Visit their website, www.theprakatis.com.
Are you in the market to buy or sell a home? Are you shopping for a realtor? Maybe you're in search of a builder, a mortgage, a mover, a storage facility. Your local Pittsburgh Homes Guide by Realtors magazine can make your search easy. Printed every 2 weeks, the Pittsburgh Homes Guide by Realtors is your one-stop source for the latest listings of homes for sale. No other publication contains more listings by local realtors. Check it out. Thousands of homes are featured with photos and descriptions. Pick up your free copy today at hundreds of locations in Pittsburgh and surrounding areas. Ask your realtor to advertise your home in the Pittsburgh Homes Guide by Realtors. The Pittsburgh Homes Guide by Realtors is a proud product of Harmon Publishing, a division of Trader Media Systems, and is published by the Realtors Association of Metropolitan Pittsburgh. The Pittsburgh Homes Guide by Realtors. Pick up your copy today. It's free.
On the web, it's harmonhomes.com. AM News Talk 1360, Weather Watch 4.
This afternoon, still a lot of clouds, a stray shower or two, and a few sunny breaks, especially late day. It'll be cooler as the high temperature only gets up to 70 degrees. Overnight, clearing skies, and late tonight after midnight, do expect some areas of dense fog. 55 will be our low temperature, and a lot brighter for Sunday. Warmer as well, mostly to partly sunny. Sunday's high temperature, 77. I'm Channel 4 Action News meteorologist Mike Brookins with your Weather Watch 4 update on AM News Talk 1360.
It's 75 degrees in downtown Pittsburgh under cloudy skies. More of Real Estate 101 with Phil Marcus here on AM News Talk 1360 next.
Okay, welcome back. Phil Marcus on Real Estate 101 here on AM News Talk 1360. We're speaking with Dr. Robert Strauss. And before we go back to the phones at 412-333-1360, let's give away some tickets to the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. This is, what's the date for this? Oh, my goodness, this is tomorrow, Stephanie. September 18th, 2:30, these tickets are for. So, if you don't, you know, if you're not going to go, don't waste the tickets. How are we going to get them in their hands? You'll have to pick them up, I guess, at the, well, you know what, here's what we're going to do. Call in 412-333-1360. I'm going to give you a couple trivia questions, presidential trivia. And the first person to answer these correctly, we're going to put them on hold, Steph. You get their name, address, and phone number. Don't forget their phone number. I'll be in touch with them, and I'll figure out a way to get these tickets in their hand by tomorrow. So this is for the Mellon Grand Classics, a grand beginning at Heinz Hall, tomorrow, September 18th at 2:30, Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. All right, I'm going to throw out a couple questions. Ready? Listen up, everybody. What president approved the Star-Spangled Banner as the national anthem? There's one question. All you got to do is answer one question. I'm going to throw out a bunch of them. What president approved the Star-Spangled Banner as the national anthem? There's one question. Next question. Who was the first president to visit Japan while in office? That's the second question. And let's do one more. I'm going to make this real easy. Throughout its history, the White House has been known as the President's Palace, the President's House, the Executive Mansion. What president officially gave the White House its current name, i.e., the White House? Any one of those three, you answer any one of those three correctly, and we'll get the tickets to you. 412-333-1360, pound 1360 on your Verizon wireless cell phone, and nobody's calling. So I'm going to keep giving more questions until we're going to give these away, Steph. Okay, here's another question. What president never married? Yeah, all these guys are married except one. One president was never married. Who was it? Want another one? Okay. Who was the only president who was ever divorced? There's an easy one. 412-333-1360. You know, Dr. Strauss, maybe you and I are the only ones listening.
There's going to be somebody out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, no, the phones are ringing now. Okay, there's three, four, five questions, and the phones are ringing like crazy now. I think we're going to have a winner here. All right, Stephanie is going to get their names. Let's go first. Hold on here. Let's go to George in Canonsburg. You're first. Which question do you want to answer, George?
Wasn't it Roosevelt who made it to the White House?
Say it again, please.
Was it Roosevelt who named it the White House?
Actually, you're correct. Theodore Roosevelt, that was in 1901. So there go the tickets.
Everybody, did I get them?
You got them.
All right, great.
Now you hold. Now, are you going to use these tickets? I don't want these to go to waste. This is tomorrow.
No. Give them away because I don't have the time to do it. Give them to somebody else. But I had to call you. I'm on the way on the parkway.
Okay. All right.
But thank you very much.
All right, George. Call back, everybody. George. All right, well, they'll call in again. See, they're ringing now. George, that was an exercise in ego, Dr. Strauss.
Did you hear that?
Well, he had the answer. He wanted to see if he was correct.
Yeah, but it was nice of him to say, look, I'm not going to use the tickets, well, but for goodness sakes.
Look, most people are honest, let's face it.
I guess so, except if they're assessing real estate. All right, that's another story. Let's go to John in his car. John, which question do you want to answer?
Well, I can take the bachelor and the divorce question, both.
Just do one.
James Buchanan was the only bachelor president.
Now, how did you know that? You're right.
Well, because he's the only Pennsylvania president as well.
Yeah, and who gets married in Pennsylvania?
Exactly.
I guess. I don't know. All right. Now, are you going to use these tickets?
Absolutely. We're going into town tomorrow to the Science Center, and then that will be a nice little cap off to the evening.
Very good. Stephanie, I'm going to put John on hold. He's on line one. Make sure you get his name, phone number. Okay, get me, John, give me a couple different phone numbers. You've got a cell phone, apparently. So not now, but when you talk to Stephanie, make sure you give me some numbers where I can call you later. Okay?
Sure. Thank you very much.
All right, hold on. Thanks for calling. I hung up on him. Oh, geez, Stephanie. Oh. John, call back. 412.
Phil.
Well, you know, this is complicated, all this
equipment.
We can't
even give away free tickets.
He's going to call back. I know his voice. 412-333-1360. Call back, John. Dr. Strass?
Yes.
Aren't you glad I'm not doing the assessment?
Well, here we are. It's a Saturday afternoon, and Notre Dame beat Michigan. I mean, you know.
And all's well with the world?
I guess. Yeah.
All right. Let's see. He's calling back. I don't know. You don't have to put him on the air, Steph. No, just get his name and address and phone number, and I'll call him. All right. Let's go back to thanks for hanging in there, Dr. Strauss. So let's talk about, we were talking about the website, we were talking about assessments. Dan Honorato, I was a political science major at Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's one thing I came away from my 4 years with, it was the first rule of politics, to wit, get reelected.
Right.
That's it. Now, Dan, and I don't have too many bad things to say about him, nor did I have any bad things to say about his predecessor, Mr. Roddy. I thought they're both fully competent guys, but this issue is obviously a huge issue, but I think he's taking the purely populist track here.
Well, I think in Jim Roddy's case, he underestimated the scale of the response if he didn't get it right. Witness the 200,000 appeals over a couple of years.
Yeah.
And I think that what Dan has learned from that process is that you can run on the platform of getting it fair without defining what it is. And then I think he's discovered what Jim had discovered, namely that the county hadn't been paying enough attention or investing enough in keeping itself current on the number of transactions. There have been backlogs and all kinds of administrative snafus. And Dan's not a patient guy. I think he's been much more concerned about downsizing the county, the Kane hospitals, the airport, the problems with the airlines and U.S. Air and getting low-cost carriers in. And I think he finds those things much more immediate in terms of serving what he perceives to be the needs of the county. And so he's been fussing around trying to find ways not to deal directly with the assessment issue, kind of hoping it would go away. And unfortunately, that's not what state law does. State law says that every county, and in Philadelphia, the city, is responsible for coming up with assessments that are used by school districts and municipalities, and they don't reimburse the county for that service. And the county is also responsible for footing the bill on the appeals side. And Dan and I disagree about how big a responsibility it is for him. He, I think, would like to worry about other things. My characterization is that the county executive and the county council are really in the fairness business for every property owner and renter in the county, because renters pay property taxes through their rent. And they really should take that responsibility seriously, and I think that what's been going on, especially with home rule, is they've been fussing around and trying to avoid it.
Are you, or do you have thoughts, you know, the old, let's drop back to the old system, you know, where we had the
three commissioners.
The three commissioners and the assessments then were heard, property was assessed by and appeals were heard by the same folks. Now, we were supposed to get away from that.
Right, and that was by no means a perfect system either, and we've had a long history in Allegheny County of people finding non-uniformities, going into court. Judge Papadakis preceded Judge Wettick and basically put the assessment system in receivership. I mean, if you really sort of step back and ask what's been going on the last 26 years, you find that the assessment process and the application of the property tax has been under judicial review twice and controlled, mind you. What's different now under Judge Wettick is that he's not nearly as activist as Judge Papadakis was, who really took a hands-on approach. I think Judge Wettick is of a little different temperament, and he is of the mind that if you throw him a pitch with a complaint, he'll take a look at it and take a swing. And so my best guess of what's going to happen with this ordinance next Tuesday when it finally comes to a vote is and gets passed, because it's my impression that the county executive has the votes, that there will be litigation.
I talked to
and
Rich
it'll get
Fitzgerald.
Struck down.
Yeah, I talked to Rich Fitzgerald, and he seems to be happy about him.
Well, he was happy last time. I was there. I testified before council just before they passed it. Just because people vote in favor of something doesn't mean that it's going to withstand judicial review.
Yeah, Rich has kind of been carrying on Arado's water, though.
Well, yeah, I think ultimately what's going on, and I said this in February, is that they're positioning themselves, the executive and the council, to blame the judge. But I don't think Judge Wettick is going to force a reassessment. He's just going to find that whatever ordinance that they pass, which is their variant of a reassessment or this interim process, will be deficient and defective under state law, and he'll throw it out.
Well, he said his last opinion that he doesn't have the power to compel.
I don't believe
the county
that, actually.
Really? You think he can compel a reassessment?
Yeah, I think he can. The judicial authority's there. He can choose not to exercise it, and I think that's what he's done. But look, in the final analysis, that's for lawyers. I'm an economist who studies this stuff and reads very carefully, but whether the judge has the authority or not, you know, that's for him to decide. And if people think that he has the authority and he denies he has the authority, they can appeal it and ask for the remedy, and the Commonwealth Court can decide whether or not he's got the authority.
If he's told by
the court above him that he's got the authority, then my best guess is he's got the message. And if the legislature says he's got the authority, clearly and succinctly in a new law, then he'll have it for sure.
Okay, I got to jump in here.
Yep.
Talking to Dr. Robert Strauss of Carnegie Mellon University, we've got a few minutes left after the break. You can call in if you have any questions. We're talking about assessments. 412-333-1360, pound 1360 on your Verizon wireless cell phone. Air conditioner season is still with us, so you might think it's cool enough today, you don't need your air conditioning, but I dare say before the season's out, we're going to have more hot and humid days. And if you don't have central air conditioning, maybe you're living, as I used to, with those god-awful window air conditioners. They are terrible. You know, you can't take them in and out of the windows. You can't close the windows in the winter, and they're too heavy. They're dirty. They're inefficient. So what you want is central air conditioning, but you probably think you can't have it because if you're also like me and you've got radiators, you don't have ductwork, right? Enter John L. Sullivan, he of Sullivan Super Service at 412-271-0900. Sullivan is the, it's the sales arm and the installation arm and the service arm of Unico, the Unico system, in these here parts. They will install a Unico central air conditioning system, high-velocity central air conditioning system, that doesn't need ductwork. I know that sounds hard to believe, but it's true. It doesn't need the conventional ductwork that you and I think of when we think of air conditioning. This Unico system's amazing. Check it out. Go to the manufacturer's website. It's www.unicosystem.com. And give Sullivan a call. They'll give you a free estimate at 412-271-0900. Remember, for all your plumbing, heating, and air conditioning needs, call Sullivan Super Service at 412-271-0900.
Did you know that most home inspections don't include a certified structural evaluation? That's because most home inspectors aren't qualified to conduct a structural inspection, even though the structure is one of the most important components of your new home. You want to know if the property you're thinking of buying is structurally sound, as well as knowing about all the other parts of the house, things like the furnace, the appliances, the roof. Wouldn't it be great if the inspector that you hired to check out your new home was a professional engineer licensed by the state of Pennsylvania? That's exactly what you'll get when you call Three Rivers Inspection and Engineering Incorporated at 412-331-5665. Three Rivers can also inspect for radon and termites. Their expert field team will check out the house from top to bottom before you buy and give you a concise, easy-to-read report so that you can make an intelligent, educated decision. Call Three Rivers Inspection and Engineering Incorporated at 412-331-5665.
On the web, it's threeriversinspection.com.
Straight from the Gaza Strip. Desmond Dekker here.
Me Israelite.
Yeah, these are all right. You know, Stephanie, I played that when I was a rock and roll disc jockey. Long before you were born, did. This was a big hit. This was Desmond Dekker and the Aces, the Israelites. I don't know. It's a reggae song. Yeah. All right. Back to Real Estate 101 here on AM News Talk 1360. I'm Phil Marcus. My guest is Dr. Robert Strauss of CMU. Before we go back to the phones, we've got people. Bob, hold on. Bob's on the line and another call coming in. We're going to get to you real quick. Let's take a real quick glance at just one featured listing of the week. This is a brand new listing. It's in Greenfield. And then we'll go back to the phones. This is a perfect home priced to sell right away. It's a two-bedroom brick home with central air, off-street parking. The sellers replaced the windows, the HVAC, the doors. It's installed glass block windows in the basement. Nice backyard front porch, original woodwork, French doors, hardwood flooring under wall-to-wall carpeting. The kitchen and laundry appliances are also all included, and a seller-paid warranty for the first year is also included. The list price, $79.9. This is really a nice house in Greenfield, brand new. So there, that's it. The phone number to call for information regarding that featured listing today, or how to view a virtual tour, or how to have your property that you'd like to sell featured here on Real Estate 101 is 412-241-4200, extension 154. This is not meant to be a solicitation of other brokers' listings, so disregard this offer if your property is listed with a broker. Information about this property is from sources deemed reliable. It's not warranted, however. All listings are subject to prior sale, lease, change of price, or withdrawal without notice. Okay, let's go back to the phones. Bob in Pittsburgh has a question for Dr. Strauss. Go ahead, Bob.
Hi there. I purchased a house beginning of this year, 2005. And I've put about twice as much money into it as I purchased it for, and it's assessed for about around what I purchased it for. What does everything that we've been talking about here today mean for me in the coming years as far as my property value and taxes?
I think that the short-run answer is you probably won't get detected because the county is way behind in keeping track of improvements. Part of the issue involves whether or not you had to get an okay from the city of Pittsburgh.
I have an occupancy permit. And
you did?
Yeah.
But the county's probably a couple years behind in entering that into their data. So as a practical matter, I think right away nothing much is going to happen. Probably, if there's a reassessment in the next 3 or 4 years, which I'm guessing is going to happen just because 2002, will, you know, things have changed, mm-hmm. your value will go up, but so will everybody else's. And then the question is...
Will the taxes then go
up
as a result?
Well, there's a 5% growth cap, and the millage will have to be rolled back, and there are proposals in Harrisburg to take that 5% actually back to zero so that... the city and the school district and the county will have to then face up to record votes in terms of what your taxes will be. And it's hard to predict what's going to happen because lots of other taxpayers have done things to their property and the assessments are inaccurate. And that's especially true with some of the big office buildings downtown in both directions.
So even someone like me should be in favor of reassessment because it may or may not hurt me as far as raising my taxes. It'll just make the whole system fair.
That's right.
However, it's kind of convenient that they're not reassessing because I know for sure that in the near term, I'm probably not going to see too much of a change.
Well, except for one thing. I mean, if you read the papers this morning, the school district is having some financial problems, so it's not inconceivable that millage isn't going to go up a little bit for the school district, and the city's financial problems are by no means over.
All right. Okay, well, thanks for the answer.
All right, Bob, thanks for calling. You know, Dr. Strauss, I was talking, I'm a real estate broker, practicing REMAX broker, and I was talking to a colleague of mine last week, and she commented to me how this instability, if you will, has just affected the real estate market.
Absolutely. One of my major criticisms of the proposed ordinance. The vagueness in the notion of keeping to 2000 may sound comforting, but the uncertainty really precludes people from coming into the county and coming into the city. And that's not only true for homeowners, but it's also true for companies that want to do manufacturing in the region.
Well, what do you say to people who say, as my colleague did to me, that she really doesn't care what Honorado's plan is? It's just going to inject some stability so that people can get it. They know what their tax liability is going to be.
Well, I think that's part of what you're going to hear Tuesday in his speech, but. You know, my best guess is that it's going to be found unconstitutional and violative of existing state law, so there's going to be uncertainty about what the ordinances really are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I said to the Dana on TV a while ago.
Yeah, that was a battle.
Yeah, change state law, you know. Look.
But he can't do that.
Well, you know, then he's got to work under his constraints and quit throwing curveballs that aren't inside the strike zone and claiming that they're really good pitches. I mean, to me, that's what's going on.
Yeah.
And he may well be well-intentioned, but he's actually generating more uncertainty than not, because I don't think it's going to pass mustard in front of Judge Wettick.
We've got a few minutes left here.
Sure.
Do you have are you familiar with this case that Attorney John Silvestri?
Just a little bit.
Oh, okay. I wanted to get you to comment on that. Yeah, I was a hearing officer and case reviewer down at the appeals board downtown when, you know, this, I guess these folks who, let's see, this was in, I don't even know what year it was. I'm reading from the Glenn Mayer article in the Trib. When Silvestri's clients were kind of knocked out of the box here. And Isabel Storch, who's the solicitor for the appeals board, said, look, what this is about, we should background people. I haven't got time. But anyway, Silvestri's argument or complaint was about data, information that was introduced after a hearing. In other words, a case reviewer, which I was reviewing the case after the hearing officer made a recommendation and said, well, let's plug in some appreciation. And negated the hearing officer's recommendation. Now, Isabel Storch, for her part, says, look, that only happened a few times. We don't do it anymore. You have an opinion on that?
Well, I think the allegation is that it was not only adverse to the client, that it was also systematic. And the claim is that there's a due process issue. And I think that's why the state Supreme Court took the case. And I think that the state Supreme Court taking the case surprised a lot of people.
Yeah, it had been knocked out in two lower courts.
That's right. And this is a big deal to go all the way to the state Supreme Court. And depending on whether they rule narrowly or not, they could be creating a lot of precedent about the way in which appeals have to be treated and heard.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of informality over the last few years because the volume was so high, and you probably know that better than I.
Yeah, oh yeah. I've got to jump in. We're plumb out of time. Thank you very much, Dr. Strauss.
My pleasure.
It's been nice having you.
Right.
All right, that's Dr. Robert Strauss, and we just ran out of time, but he was a good guest, and the assessments always make for good guests and good discussion. Real Estate 101 has been brought to you by Harriman Homes and the Pittsburgh Homes Guide, by Realtors, by Sullivan Super Service, by The Practice.
by Three Rivers Inspection and Engineering and by Wells Fargo Home Mortgage. Thanks to Dr. Strauss. Thanks to Stephanie, my producer. Special thanks to you. Stay tuned for ABC News. Views expressed on Real Estate 101, not necessarily those of Renda Broadcasting, its advertisers or employees. I'll be back next Saturday at 4. See you then. I'm Phil Marcus.
You've been listening to Real Estate 101 with Phil Marcus.